will be exercising faith, and then, bam, you go through the veil. Amen? And before I actually went into the Father, he began to prepare this diagram, and I saw it in the Spirit. It was this full progression of the right hand of God. I call it the right hand of God diagram. And I saw that. Of course, when I saw it, I thought we were ready for it. I didn't know we were probably 2 or 3 years out from it. But we're ready now. Amen? I'll tell you why I know we're ready now. Because we're moving. As you go through the door, throne of grace, rest. This is a perfect, I'm just telling you, it's a perfect way to move in the kingdom. Every part of that is there for a reason. Every part of it, he's trained us many, many times over, and each part is a harmonious way to move into the Father and his glory. And I always wonder, God, why do we have to go up? Why can't you just bring it all down like you normally do? What's the difference between going up? He goes, because in this realm, it's the glory realm. It's the highest realm there is the Father. It's the Father of love, Father of light, Father of glory. And that realm and the glory realm, there are certain things that are sanctioned to operate. In the gift realm, your soul can operate with an anointing. Your flesh can operate. Not in the middle of a service, but the anointing will take over and you can go back to being a little flesh creature. And people do it all the time, and they have anointings, and they have outstanding anointings, and they live a whole nother life outside that anointing. And in that life, they fall before people and they go, what is going on here? How can somebody be anointed of God like that and live like that? Because it was a gift. It was a gift. It was a gift and call without repentance. And God just kept anointing him because that's what he does. When God gives it to you, don't take it back. Amen. And so in this realm is that shift out from the anointing that's in measure to the anointing without measure. And the anointing without measure is the Lord's mantle. It's what he walked in, and he walked in the mantle of the Father. That's what he said, I can myself do nothing. I can only do what I see my Father doing. He was completely yielded to the Father all the time. And that's the difference, because the reason why you had to go up, because there's certain things that are sanctioned to operate in the glory realm and certain things that are absolutely not sanctioned to operate in the glory realm. Amen? And one of those things is the flesh, but more importantly, the soul that has to be dethroned. We just got through with a little 3-part mini series called The Dethroning of the Soul, and how this process of moving up dethrones the soul. It dethrones the flesh. So you can move into the highest realms through a consecutive way of surrender into the door, throne of grace surrender, into the rest surrender, into abiding in the Lord surrender, until you reach into the Father where you're completely, completely caught up. And there is a realm and an operation of faith for this. When you touch it and you get really good at it, it doesn't really matter what you're dealing with. You can wake up just dead tired where you can hardly get your body out of bed. How do you know? Because I did that. Like this morning, I was like, some days I wake up and I'm like, wow, ready to go. And other mornings I wake up, I'm like, I'm going to go back to bed. 5 times over, you know. I mean, if you ever wake up in the morning, you're just dragging. It's like, how could you possibly go that far up when you wake up feeling that way? Because what the Lord said, truly, the spirit is willing, it's the flesh that's weak. Because they couldn't even last an hour with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes, look, it's your flesh that's causing all that. And the spirit's willing. Once you learn how to do this, you can put that down and go all the way up into the Father. It was this remarkable whole long time today. I won't even tell you how long it was. It just how you could go from feeling that tired to spending that much time. Because you're reaching into eternity. And the soul gets bowed. And when it gets bowed and the flesh gets bowed, the weakness bows. The weakness gets dethroned. Your spirit man takes over. Amen. When your spirit takes over, when Christ says, I'm crucified with Christ. I used to hate those scriptures. I'm crucified with Christ. If any man take up his cross and follow me and die daily, he cannot be my disciple. And so I got to walk and die daily. And you take that thing, it's like I'm dying daily. That's not what he's saying. It's every day a part of you has to be dethroned to truly follow him up into the Father. If you're going to follow him up into the Father daily, you'll have to be dethroned. And it's a dethronement that takes place daily, and there's a power to dethrone your flesh. There's a power to dethrone your soul, but you can't do that here. If you try to do that here, all you'll do is lay down and fall asleep and snooze before the Lord. Amen? Nothing happens here. It all happens there. The higher you go, the more glorious it gets, the more empowering it gets. And you get so skilled at this that it doesn't matter what you're carrying, how you're feeling, what's happening, just moving into it and learning to do it. I mean, how many of you ever been so tired that you start praying and all of a sudden your mind awakens? And then when your mind starts zinging, how many of you ever pray when your mind's zinging? If your mind starts zinging, what do you do with your head that starts zinging? Because your mind will keep you here while your spirit's trying to go there. Your mind is part of your soul and it can be dethroned. Amen? It can be dethroned. Sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes you got to wait it out. Sometimes you got to keep presenting it before the Lord. Keep surrendering before the winnowing fork. Keep moving into the rest. Keep moving until that full dethronement takes place. I know now with the experience enough to do this, I know I don't even try to reach to the Father until my soul is dethroned. A lot of you are trying to reach up into the Father and your soul has not been dethroned yet. And because it's not been dethroned, you're trying to reach into a level you're not ready to reach into. And sorry, this process is the dethroning of the soul. I have a teaching as part two, dethrone the soul and throne the spirit. You really, really want to listen to that. But as we move up into these realms, what God's doing now, before he gave me this, this is before even the love of the Father, then we start entering the love of the Father for a whole year. We never reach past any of that. I just stopped putting it up there because all we would do is just talk about love, Father, love, Father, love, Father. Amen? Because it's so amazing, you know. And then he started working some other things, and now he's back. Now we're reaching from the love into the place of answered prayer. Into the place, I'm talking real answered prayer, earth-shattering stuff. Amen? The glory realm. Reaching before we would just stop out the love of the Father because he's restructuring. And he'll do that. He'll catch you for a season. It's just about you and him and him holding you and taking the orphan out of you and putting the son in you and restructuring all that. But now it's joint heir time. Amen. It's not you don't do the love of the Father. You do. In fact, you don't want to be running up into the Father asking him, you know, give me this, give me that, let's do this, this, this. In fact, I don't even pick up the Constitution anymore until after the Father has fully loved. But I promise you, no matter what you feel, no matter what your flesh is telling you, no matter what the enemy's telling you, I promise you the Father's always willing to receive you. How do you know that? Because your faith gets so skilled you can pierce any veil and you find out that it was all a lie. The whole thing was a lie. You might be in the way. Your mind might be in the way. The world might be in the way. Your feelings might be in the way. The morning, you get all caught up in the morning and stuff starts happening and you don't have time for it and all that. That might be the way, but God is never denying you. Even though sometimes you'll come in there. I remember the days I do everything I knew to do and I couldn't get through. I'm thinking, God, there's just something wrong today. There'll be days like that, but your faith will prevail. Amen. And when your faith prevails, you'll move through the veil. Well, yesterday we moved through a veil we never had been through before. Not corporately, not to my knowledge. We moved through that veil of worship and spirit, perfect love, abiding in the Father into the glory realm. We started praying up into the glory realm yesterday. Corporately. Been doing it for a week personally, but corporately we moved through that. That is huge. Listen, every time God pierces the veil, everything is going to change because it's moving higher. Because ultimately, every one of those inheritances on the outer rim are going to flow down into the earth. Amen? All those operations, all those inheritances, top ones, apostolic government, all power, the fullness, divine healing, inheritance of nations, omnipresent time habitation, omnipotent dominion, omniscient wisdom, generational inheritance, sevenfold inheritance, riches and glory, all blessings. All of that is in the Father's ministry. Say all of it. All of it's coming down. Amen. There is a faith that comes alive when you're in the Father. And see, the Lord designed this specifically. The Father and the Lord designed this. They designed it through these upper room mysteries that we were really, as we begin to know God, we were really supposed to make our ascent into the Father from day one. The time you get saved, you are really meant, even while God's using us in the gift realm, and even while we're carnal like the Corinthian church, we still, like Paul did, even the Corinthian church, I'm going to show you a better way. There's a higher realm than what you're doing. Covet all this, covet the gifts, covet the powers that age comes, but there is a higher place. I'm going to show you a more excellent way to move up into the love of the Father. That's what you saw in 1 Corinthians 13, wasn't a love that you produce on your own. In fact, he said it, he goes, you can give your body to be burned for the sake of your God and not have love. You could give all your goods away and not have love. How can you give all your goods away and say you don't have love? Because the soul can manufacture a lot of stuff. It can manufacture. There's good works being done all over the world. People get praised for them, and it's all manufactured from the soul. The whole thing's a manufactured compassion of the soul, but it's not formed and forged out of the Father's love. Amen? And so as we move up, as the Spirit of the Lord, and he opened the veil, he wanted us to know Father first. Amen? He wanted to move us from orphan to sons. Amen? That was his chief objective, is to save us and then forge Christ in us and then move us up into the Father to remove the orphan spirit and then make us full-age sons, because the Father's love can do that like nobody's business. Amen? How you know? Because I'm a recipient of it. You know that. Praise God if you've been here. And as he forges his love in us and he makes us, like Pastor Chuck was saying, whole. Do you want to be whole? He didn't ask him if he wanted to be healed. He said, do you want to be whole? Because that man lay in the pool of Bethesda, that man been laying there a long time, 38 years. He had a whole lot more problems than just healing. He had a lot of issues there, a lot of rejection issues. Imagine people walking by you all your life, wanting to touch you. There's a whole sect of people in that day wouldn't even touch them because they considered them unclean. Rejection issue. He goes, do you want to be whole? The first thing we're going to do is take up your bed and walk. Amen? You're going to walk. That's the first thing you're going to do is be whole. And he healed him, but that in itself was the first part of being whole. But God wants us to come up into the Father, amen? Justin's not here, but he called me, because Justin's the hungry machine, you know. He goes, look, I can't get past the rest. I can hit the rest every day, and I'm so frustrated. And he goes, I feel like I'm going in reverse. And he goes, I got this cloud over me that every time I try to reach the love of the Father, I go to sleep. And then I'm asleep all day long. He'll tell you this. He goes, I'm sleeping all day long at work. I goes, I'm so tired. He goes, and I do this every day. And he goes, I'm fine until I try to reach up to the Father. And as soon as I try to reach up, this cloud comes over me and I fall asleep. So I said, listen, what that is a spirit. He is contending against your next level. And he's there every morning that you try to move up. And I said, if you'll just keep doing what you're doing, I said, I promise it'll shift. It'll shift for you. It'll break. I said, but what you need to do is go back and listen to all that whole season we were in the love of the Father. Just listen, listen, listen. Because your spirit needs more imagery, higher faith, so you can release into it. Amen? Because you release ultimately what's working inside you. If you have nothing working inside you, you're not going anywhere. Amen? If you're blanked, that's what you're going to get, blank. You have to have imagery. Amen. The word puts that strength of that imagery in there so you can release. And all of a sudden he calls me. I broke through. I broke through. And the next day he texted, I broke through again. And the next day he goes, I broke through again. 7 days in a row he broke through. He goes, it's easy. I'm like, yeah. He broke through. What broke through? Faith broke through. Amen. Your faith will break through any one of these levels. This is for a deep call to deep. I mean, you get 10 people walking in this mantle, they'll change the whole earth. 10. Say 10. Found a long time ago, I don't need multitudes for this. Amen. It's the ones that have the compass to go all the way. Praise God. There was a lot of people around the Lord that didn't go all the way. They didn't have the compass. They couldn't hear. But there were the ones that could. Amen. And they ascended up, amen, and they got all of this, amen. And so As we move into the love of the Father, I'm just telling you, there's more up in there. Praise God. Because the Lord said, in that day, go to John real quick. And I found out one of the chief things he was after was, yes, to love you, remove the orphan spirit out of you. That's a big one. You can go to John 14 real quick. And then what he's after is the kind of faith that can move through that. Do you know you can move up through that within a matter of an hour up into the Father? And as a matter of an hour, you can move into every one of those levels. Very rarely does it take me more than an hour to get to the Father. I'm not saying that as a position of pride. I'm saying that as a position of faith. That's what skilled faith can do. And it doesn't matter what's hanging on you, what's going on, who's saying it. It doesn't matter what kind of morning you've had. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. All of that stuff will bow. And for every level you achieve, it's going to be glorious beyond glory. Amen. I remember when we just hit the door, how glorious it was. Just getting through the door, I felt the jurisdictional shift. I would call somebody, and I was able to shift out of something into something. And you're shifting up now, amen? But it's all designed. The rest is the perfect way to move up in the Father. It's all that goes rest. You should really learn about the Garden of the Lilies. They're just an amazing place. Just amazing, amazing place. That's all they do. They're living. That's a living garden. That's no dead garden there, trust me. And guess what? All they do 100% of the time is receive. That's all they do. They don't do anything else but receive. You can learn a lot about the lily. There's no toil. There's no labor. They have no burden. How much weight do you think a lily could withstand? They couldn't stand so much as a quarter of a pound of weight would bow them down. They have no weight whatsoever. They carry no burden. They're perfectly in a state of rest and harmony. They're amazingly tender, and they're full of glory. And they'll give their glory to you. Amen. That's just the key. They wait for you to come in there to give their rest to you. Amazing how different life is when you walk in the rest of God. Amen. The Father. Wow. And this is about John 14, verse 18. This is where we are now. I've been waiting for this day to begin the process of opening this thing up. I think we're in the season now. He's going to start opening this up. The foundation's been laid. He's about to start releasing some of this. There's a lot to release. Amen. This thing's going to change the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So much easier to do when you're in the Father. The Bible says He fills you with all joy and peace in believing, and you're bounding in hope for the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have joy and peace in what you're doing, you're in the wrong place. Amen? Wrong part of you is controlling the process. The part of you that's controlling has to bow out. Amen? Everyone say, soul, bow down. Oh, soul, bow down. Praise God. You know, when He gets out of the way, it seems like the Father is like very present. I'm like, why are you so present now? He goes, because that part of you is out of the way. Amen? When that part gets out of the way, God, you write this down, fellowships with your spirit. Amen? It's your spirit that's infused with union with the Father. All right, so John 14 says, verse 18, I'll not leave you as orphans. There's no sense going through life with an orphan spirit. There's a lot of ministers that minister all their life with an orphan spirit. They never overcome it. They just operate in their realm with God, but they're still orphaned. I know a lot of them. I was one of them. Amen? But God, say, but God, the Father will not leave you as an orphan. He absolutely will not. It's not His will to leave us. He goes, I will come to you. I'll come to you and bring you to where I am, and you'll no longer be an orphan. Amen. No longer be fatherless. No longer be subject to fear. No longer subject to false identity. None of that. Amen. And yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me. You'll see me. Say, you see me. I'm going to teach you how to see, is what he's saying, not with those eyes in your head, but the eyes of your heart. You're going to see me. You're going to see me when I come to you, because I'm not coming to you in flesh and body anymore. I'm going to come to you, but you're going to see me. You're going to understand how to move in the realm of the kingdom. You're going to see the kingdom. Amen. You're going to learn how to move in the kingdom. You're going to know how to see it. We were talking about this yesterday when the Lord came off that mountain praying all night, and he was watching the disciples through the Father. He was watching them row. They row. And the Bible says they were straining at the oars. Say, straining at the oars. That's what you do. And they were in the perfect will of God, but they were straining at the oars. God sent, the Lord Jesus himself put them in that boat and sent them the other side. And immediately the storm arose because there was a revival waiting on them. And the Lord asked me, he said, who's going to get there first? Me or those straining at the oar? And the Bible says they were straining the oars, and he intended, it said very specific NIV in Matthew 14, that he intended to walk past them. He did not intend to stop. He intended to walk right past them. Why? They saw him. They saw him because they were in works. He was in the kingdom. These were 3 or 4 foot waves that had no bearing on him whatsoever. I always wondered, why is it? Okay, so he calls Peter out of the boat. Peter walks on water. Peter begins to sink. The Lord pulls him up. Now, the Lord's standing on water. Now, Peter and him are standing on water talking. And he says, why did you doubt? He's standing on water. I imagine what's going through Peter's mind. There's waves crashing. He's standing again on water. The wind, the waves, nothing are affecting the Lord whatsoever. He's just talking to him. Why did you doubt? I'm thinking, Father Peter, I'm like, can we have this conversation in the boat? You know? And so they step in the boat, and as soon as he steps in the boat, the wind stopped. The storm stopped. I needed to know why. And as soon as he stepped in the boat, he transferred that boat and 12 disciples through time. It says immediately they were on the other side. Say immediately. And that was early in the morning because they met him on the other side and revival was on. Amen. Now, why when he stepped into the boat, and the Lord explained that to me, he says, because I wasn't in the jurisdiction they were in. I was in the kingdom. I had been all night with the Father. I've been clothed in the kingdom. Because I was clothed in the kingdom took precedence over all things. It took precedence over the wind and the waves. The laws of physics that govern the earth was not affecting him at all. Amen? So when he stepped in the boat, what happened? They said they willingly received him. When he stepped in the boat, the kingdom stepped in. So what happened? The kingdom immediately, everybody in that boat immediately came under the authority and jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. And the boat did too. The material boat came under the authority and jurisdiction. It came out from works. It came out from toil because they what? They're straining at the oars, couldn't get anywhere, straining at the oars because they were in the system of the world. And as soon as he touched that boat, it all things shifted. Works were immediately broken. Grace took over the boat. The kingdom now was in full ownership of the 12 disciples and the boat. Isn't that awesome? And as soon as that happened, the waves and the wind stopped immediately. Never stopped when he was walking across it. Didn't need to because it didn't affect him. It was only affecting them. So as soon as he touched it, the kingdom took precedence. He didn't even speak to the waves. It stopped. Because the kingdom took authority over the earthly jurisdiction they were in. That's how the kingdom works. He'd been in the kingdom with the Father all night. That's why this type of ministry is so much greater. Because when you're out on the waves and sea and waiting for your gift to show up to deliver you, you might sink. But when you're in the kingdom, you'll never sink. Because you're in the Father. They stepped in the boat and immediately, they were in the middle of the sea in a 7-mile journey. They had only rode 3.5 miles. Immediately, they'd been at it since 8 o'clock that night. It was the wee hour of the morning, almost like 6 in the morning. They'd been at it for almost 10 hours. God gave them 10 free hours, a ride through time, translated them through time, and he translated that material boat. Boom. I mean, I'm like, I can understand translating man, but you translated a material object through time. It's pretty powerful. Amen? That's what the kingdom does when it takes ownership. Amen? For to do this kind of realm that we're being trained up, you can't do this when parts of you are running and ruling your life. All of that has to be dethroned in order to move up to the Father. And then he begins the clothing process. First he loves. See, first he loves. Then he starts the clothing process. Then he starts the introduction to the glory realm. Say, the glory of the Father. Introducing the realm of the Father and the light of the Father. He's getting ready to operate in kingdom mandate now, in the kingdom of God on the earth. He's getting you clothed, getting you ready, clothing you with authority that's not of this world, with light that's not of this world, clothing you with power that's not of this world, to bring you back to have precedence and rule and reign over everything. And as soon as you touch down, everything around you now has to bow to what's on you. Because you're not clothed in you anymore. You have been completely submerged. I am crucified with Christ. The old man is crucified on a daily basis. Nevertheless, I live, not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's why I pray for dunamis, so Christ can dwell in me. I don't need LaRue to dwell. I need Christ to dwell. It's Christ that takes me up to the Father. It's Christ that takes me in the garden. It's Christ that takes me in the lilies. Not me, Christ. The quicker I can get him in charge, him in ascendancy, I can do more. Because he has more power than I do. So the more I can yield out of the way and get out of the way in that process of surrender and believe in the power of his death the way you believe in the power of his resurrection. No, he can bury your old man in the same way he can raise your new man. The winnowing fork is in his hand. He'll separate that stuff daily. I can feel when he starts separating things out. I can feel when the soul starts losing its authority. And boy, he was gripping hard. My mind was so active this morning. I said, you will bow. I'm going to take you to places you'll have to bow. Because you're not going to be able to stay where we're going to go. My faith would just move in, move in, move in. I could feel he's starting to let go. I said, yeah, I told you, you're going to let go. You're going to let go. Yep, yep, yep. And then all of a sudden, he just bowed down and he let go. I mean, I'm talking about me, letting go of me. And he bowed down all of a sudden. How you know? Because the glory and the rest. Whew, the stillness comes. Christ operates from the stillness first. Amen. And as the stillness and the glory show up. Whoa, that's the joy, the love, the peace. The amazing grace of the Father. You become a new man. All this is happening in a matter of an hour or so. You're just transitioning up through a veil, and all of a sudden you get clothed. You're somebody else now. You feel differently. You're not racing and thinking. Your mind's not in charge. Your spirit now is in perfect state of rest. And you move up into the Father, and as he loves you, all the elements of the kingdom start wrapping around you. All the elements of God start wrapping around you. Amen? All of a sudden, you're in total harmony and total union with God when you were completely disjointed just 30 minutes before. This was designed to do daily. There's no day you're just going to wake up in a state of perfection. That doesn't happen. Even Elijah had like passions. He didn't wake up. Elijah had attitude. Elijah, both them. I mean, Elijah had major attitude. I mean, he was tough. You didn't mess with him. They started making fun of him, and she bears came out of the woods. He's not a guy you want to make fun of. As you get up into the Father, all that starts bowing. Amen? This is the way the Lord designed this. He says, now in that day, you're going to see me. Not with those eyes, but I'm going to show you how to see me. I'm going to show you how to follow me. I'm going to show you how to follow me in a place that's not earthly. And then I'm going to bring that place here. I'm going to show you how this works. Amen? And he starts introducing this. He says, in that day, in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you'll live. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am in you. You're going to understand this union. I'm going to get you to the Father. Then he picks that same thought up in chapter 16, and he begins to introduce what a true prayer life is supposed to be. One that's in the Father, prayed from the jurisdiction of the Father. The Father loves you, and you can pray here all you want, but if you really want to get kingdom stuff done, it's in the Father. So he said, in that day, you'll know you're in me, and we're in the Father. Where are you? You're in him, right? And then he's going to introduce you to the Father, right? Now watch what he says, because he's going to pick that in that day up. I want you to see this, because now we're in that day. Amen? Say, we're in that day. I've been waiting to go past the love of the Father. He's finally letting me get past. It's like, okay, I'm loving it. I'm full. And he says, now let's pray now. Let's start representing. What? This, thy will be done on the earth. It's good stuff. You're going to see it really soon. Thought it was just going to just pour out today. I thought, Lord, we're going to have revival today. If this keeps up, we're going to have revival. I literally thought we're going to break out in revival today. I mean, I'm having revival right now. I'm in revival. It may not be here yet, but I'm in it. Amen? I just came out of a revival. And it's awesome. Amen? I like hanging out with him a lot. He's pretty fun. Okay, so John 16, he's going to pick up in that day again. Because he said a little while. Remember, he said a little while you'll see me, a little while you won't see me, but you will see me. Okay, so he starts picking that up, that whole thought up in 16:16. He comes back to that thought. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. Same thing he said in chapter 14, right? And what's he saying now? And the disciples didn't know. Well, what is he talking about? We're not going to see him. We're going to see him. I don't understand. Could you imagine all the stuff he gave them? He said, don't worry. Half this stuff you're not going to understand anyway. My Holy Spirit will come. He'll explain it all to you. But I got to release these words so he has the authority to give them to you. Amen? He knew they didn't understand. He knew they didn't understand, but he also knew once he released those words, the Holy Spirit would come back and pick them up and start explaining it to them. The same way he's explaining them to us. Amen? The same way. Amen? The same way. And so he goes back in that day. Say, in that day. Now he's going to get picked this up in verse 22. He says, you now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart, and he wasn't talking about seeing them with the eyes or when they get up in the glory after their death. He goes, you're going to see me again. You're going to be with me in a whole other realm now. You're going to be in me. And I'm going to be in you, and I'm going to bring you in the Father the way I've been in the Father. And you now have sorrow. I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no man will take from you. In this realm, it's fun. In this realm, there is rejoicing. In this realm, there's joy. In this realm, there's peace. Anytime I start getting the Father and I start exercising faith and my peace or my joy leaves, I go right back into the Father. I said, nope, there's none of that anymore. I am not in works. I'm not in toil. I'm not in labor. All this is going to be fun. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Amen. Coming out of there happy, laughing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's do it, God. Go answer my prayer. The world didn't give this stuff to me, and the world's not going to take it away from me. What God's going to give me, the world's not giving this to me. God's giving it. Praise God. In that day, say in that day, the same that day, that you'll know that you're in me and we're in the Father. And the day I introduce the Father to you, this is the time. He's going to love you. He's going to take the orphan out of you. And then you're going to learn how to pray the way I pray. And what he's saying, you're going to get the results from the Father the way I get them. You're going to pray to the Father the way I pray to him. And he's going to answer you the way he answers me, because you're going to pray from the same place I've been praying to him from. You're going to go up on the mountain all night and pray. And you're going to have the results that I have. Because you're going to pray to him where I'm praying to him from. Because I'm going to bring him to you. Bring you to him. Amen. In that day, you'll ask me nothing. In what day? In that day, you know that I am in you. You're in me. We're in the Father. In that day, you intimately, gnosko, know. You've been introduced to the Father. He's actually going to say it again. In that day, then you're going to pray. You're going to ask. And verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He'll do it. Because you're with him. Because you're loved. Because you're not an orphan anymore. Because you're joint heir. He'll give you things as an orphan, but he'll give you a lot when you're joint heir. Why? Because he can trust you. Because his love and light and glory is working in you now. Amen. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that your joy may be full. Ask. Does this sound like he wants to answer prayer here? I don't pray for anything when I go to God. Well, you ought to. These things I've spoken to you in hidden sayings and mysteries and proverbs. Now watch this. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs, but I'll show you plainly of the Father. Say, I'll show him to you. And after I show him to you, he's saying it all over again. At that day, say at that day. At that day, you'll ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I'll pray the Father for you. The Father himself loves you. At that day that I reveal the Father to you, then you're going to talk. You're going to ask. You're going to operate in a divine exchange with the Father. And he's going to answer your prayers the way he's been answering mine. He's going to be with you the way he's been with me. He's going to do with you what he's done with me. He's not going to leave you alone anymore. You're not going to be left out there alone. When you pray, he's going to answer. That's a process. When you're in the Father, it's a process of love, light, and glory. Starting to enter that, the faith level gets extreme in there. Why? Because there is nothing binding you anymore. Your soul's been loosed. It's spirit to spirit communication. It's spirit to spirit exchange. Pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the whole full revelation of the Father first. Then thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is here in this heavenly place. Amen. But when you pray, shut the door. Enter into the Father. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father who sees you there. So you're present with him. See how many times he says the position. We're starting now. We've been preaching this. I preached it by revelation. I formed that map by revelation, even though I wasn't there. I just formed it by the revelation of what he said. But now we're moving. Yesterday, we moved through a veil. We didn't move through. This week, I've been moving through a veil, that glory realm veil. When we got this map, you know where we were? We were in abiding in Christ. We hadn't even hit the Father yet. Now we're moving up. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that prayer was never meant to be boring first. And it was never meant to be hard. Moving up through the veil will require a work of faith. But once faith takes over, faith will get you through any veil. That's why your approach to God should never be feeling-based. It should always be faith-based, because faith's always going to deliver you in. Amen? He's going to deliver you in by the words that he spoke to the imagery of that word. He's going to deliver you into the Father. You're going to get to know the Father, and the Father's about to change the whole world we live in. Because the prayers you're praying in the Father are not little bitty shoestring prayers. They're huge. They're larger than life. They're much larger than anything we could ever do. But your faith is through the roof. The assignments of prayer that he gives into that place can shift you, shift your generation, shift this church. It's about to shift this church. Unprecedented shift is coming here. But it's all the prayers that he pray. I'm like, God, there's nothing in the way of the realm of the pot. I can't do this without you. There's no way. He goes, you got that right. If I wanted you to do it, I would have left you down there to do it. When you get up there with him, you're going to do things that only he can do. That's the kind of prayers you're going to be praying. You're faced with impossible situation, but you're not looking at it from the realm of possibility. You're looking at it from the realm of impossible, because you're with him. And when you're with him, all things are possible. Because faith coming alive, unprecedented, life, joy, liberty, life, glory's filling you up. Against hope, you believe in hope. You stagger no more at the promise anymore, because you're not praying down here. You're praying in a realm where everything's been surrendered and the Father's fullness is there to help you. I tried to reach in the last season. I tried to reach into some things and I reached a little bit in, but it wasn't the season to reach in. That was a season he was removing the orphan spirit. He said, listen, he's not in a hurry. He keeps telling me, he said, stop being in a hurry. Why are you such in a hurry? Where are you going? Victoria told me, said, there's one thing you told me to help me more than anything. About that whole map there. Whenever I charge ahead, like if I'm charging to the throne of grace, I'm charging in the garden, I'm charging in the... If I charge into something and he ain't there, I just back up to where he was. I just back up, reacclimate, because I'm moving too fast. Sometimes I remember now all the times I'd try to reach to the Father and I'd get tapped out. And I thought, man, what's up today? Now I realize I was moving too fast and I didn't have enough of me dethroned yet to move up into spirit with the Father. Now I realize that I got it. I understand it. So I know when to go. I know these cues. I know when to go to each place. I know when to go. You got to know these things. It doesn't matter if you're just moving to the door right now. It's all there. Amen. If you were called to be a doctor, listen, people that's called to be a doctor that know they're going to be a doctor, they already know. They got 4 years of college and another 8 years. They don't even blink twice at 12 years after high school of learning about the physical anatomy of the body so they can be a surgeon. They don't even think about it. Anything you do that's going to change the world, if you're working in God, you're going to have to learn some things about how this works. Amen? You have to learn. Thank God this is a training center.
It's awesome. You know, he said that Elijah and all the men of old would keep their spirit man before the Lord, but even the Son of God himself, because he walked as a son of man, he took time. That's why he was always at the mountain, or he would get away from the multitudes, because he kept his spirit man strengthened and before the Father. I have to add this. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done through Pastor, because exercising faith, that's what I was sharing. Even with Tommy a couple months ago, I was sharing that faith bridges the gap. Because we have the Word already, the image of the Word inside our spirit man, we just exercise faith and it bridges the gap. Like you can just go straight in. And, you know, I was noticing that the Lord himself, I really truly believe that the reason he would go up into the mountain or he would get away from the multitudes is so that he could get all the distraction out, which is really shutting the door. But I've learned that because, let's say you're by yourself and we have this concept of, you know, shutting the door. You could even be in your prayer room, or you got to get, but you can be in your car and it's shut out and you exercise faith and you enter right in. So I believe even as we're ministering, as this word releases and we're releasing the word and bringing people into the Father, I believe the reason we're even going to have to step away to shut the door and to go into our prayer closet is to really recalibrate. Because when we're before the multitudes, and like there's a level of distraction because, you know, we're out here. But I believe that the reason we're going to separate is just so that we can realign, recalibrate. And concerning the Lord, what we're sharing is that when Jesus told the disciples, go to the other side, what's awesome is that we won't miss him. Like, we're not going to miss the Lord. Like, what he's assigned in our lives, he's told us, go to the other side. Concerning the golden lampstand, concerning the government of God, like our calling, like we haven't missed God. And that's what I was telling Pastor LaRue, is we're in good company. If the disciples themselves didn't miss him, and we see him, like we see him. I mean, we see him clearly through his word. And that's the key. You know, when the Lord asked Pastor LaRue who would have got there first, the Lord, it says in the word that he was passing them by. And in essence, he would have gone straight by if they wouldn't have seen him. But they saw him. Their eyes were enough open to see the Lord. And they saw him in the midst of the storm, in the midst of whatever they were going, they saw the Lord. And that's enough. So with us, how much more we see him through his word. So now what we ended up, you know, talking about is that we just need to now receive him into the boat, which is in essence, receive him in. Because we see him through his word. Now it's a matter of getting him in. So that's where we're exercising faith, and that's where God's taking us. And real quick, also, just as an encouragement that it operates, faith is so awesome. That's why God said, will he find faith in the earth? Is faith bridges a gap. Like, I've seen where the spirit man inside us, we're spirit, soul, body. But, you know, when you've heard people say or give testimony, oh, I remember the days when, like, the grass was greener, the trees were greener, and it's because your spirit man was in the forefront. just like Pastor has taught, like your spirit man fits his body like a glove. But if your spirit man is not in ascendance, you're operating in the soul, and then, you know, but when your spirit man is alive in you, you're seeing through these natural eyes, but it's your spirit man. That's why everything's so clear. You can hear clearly. You're very acute. And that's when everything's still. That's when, because it's your spirit man. And that's the part of you that God communicates with. That's the part that's in tune with God. And that's what God's training us. Amen.
Praise God. Now, here's something also we said. When they saw him passing by, one of the things we were talking about is we're seeing him not just as Savior, not just as Healer, not just as Alpha, but as what? Omega. And because we're seeing him as the Omega and that which is to come, he's going to fast forward us into that realm. Amen? Because we see him and we're getting him into this boat, and he's going to take this little boat and do some pretty amazing things. Amen? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. There's one other point I want to make. When we first started, going through the door was the hardest thing. Now, a lot of us can just move freely through that door. Chuck said something at my house yesterday that was pretty remarkable. Whenever something in the Spirit opened, it starts opening everywhere more freely. Well, and that's what we're kind of called to do, is open this pathway. But once it gets open, there's going to be a whole generation of sons that are going to come through this path so freely that where we spent all this time doing this, they're going to get walk right up the hill. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? Why'd it take you so long? You know, they're going to walk down that road because the road's been built. Amen. They're going to be able to ride freely because it got open. So I'm going to have Chuck share that.
Yeah. When David slayed Goliath, then what happened? See, when David slayed Goliath, before that, there were no giants had been slayed. But in his generation, there were 8 or 9 giants besides Goliath that were slain. Because why? Because he opened the realm. Because when he opened the realm, and then when the lady came after him, I believe it was 8 or 9 that were slain in his generation, and I think there was one other one that was like before, none of that before. And then when the lady came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, and he said, because she touched his clothing, because she touched him, she was made whole, she was made well. And then you see in the very next chapter, that's chapter 5, and then you see in the very next chapter, that everyone, it says everyone, was coming up and pressing against him to touch his clothing and being made well. So it was something that was opened up. Why? Because one person got brave enough to go against the grain and show the way. One person got brave enough to go in and try something that had never been tried, to do something that was outside the boundary. But when they stepped through, it opened the door for others to step into the boundary. Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? Oh, let your faith arise. Let faith arise. Mountains are in the process of being slayed right now. Oh, they're getting smaller. I remember, he had this book, and an angel came in the room. His dog was barking all night, and this angel had showed him this picture of a dot and a big old circle. And he said, that dot is supposed to be what your problem looks like. But it looks like this big old circle here on the inside of you. And when God reduces that circle to a dot, and he becomes the bigger circle, you see? And he goes, that's how it works. God must grow in you. And as he grows in you, all other things begin to dwindle. Amen? All other things begin to diffuse and be small. And that's what happens. We're trying to take all this stuff that's so large and so big and so impossible. It's not. It's just our perspective. But God fills us with himself. And he's much larger in everything. Amen. Father, thank you for everything that's happened, for that veil we got through yesterday. Glory to God. That means we're all coming to a new level, Father. And we're entering into the season of answered prayer, dominion, the season of dominion, where all the fruit starts showing up on the limb for everybody to see. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord says, well done, those who have walked by faith and not by sight, that have walked all these years waiting to see the fruit of these things. Your eyes will see it. Your hands will handle it, says the Spirit of the Lord. You'll see the kingdom in full manifestation. Hallelujah.